Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service today as we remember our close and dear friend Bob Safasan. So on Pat's behalf and Bob's family, I want to welcome all of you and thank you for being here today. Our service is being broadcast live also. So for those of you who are joining us online, a welcome to all of you and thank you for being here today. A couple things I want you to know about as we begin our time together this morning is at the conclusion of the service this morning there will not be any burial today of the cremains. That will happen later this spring at Pat's convenience. So we do want you to know about that also. And in our order of service this morning, after our scripture reading and some singing and some praying, we're going to have an opportunity for some congregational reflections. And that means I'm going to come down on floor level with a microphone, and we're going to pass the microphone around and give you an opportunity to, if you'd like, to remember some memories and reflections, remembrances of Bob's life, and maybe a short story you'd like to share, something that you had a remembrance of his life. So we'll be doing that in just a little bit. But as we begin today, I'd like for you, if you could with me, to find your red hymnal located in the pew rack right out front of you. And we're going to go over to number 4. And we're going to start off with this one. Because number 4, How Great Thou Art. And we're going to sing all 4 verses when we get to it. Number 4 was Bob's absolute very favorite hymn. As a matter of fact, you'll notice on the communion table out front of you this morning, there is a hymnal opened up to number 4. Whenever we would do hymn sings or selections of favorite hymns of congregational favorites, Bob's hand would always go up, and number 4 was always the one he wanted to sing. So in his memory, in his honor, we're going to sing number 4. But it is about the greatness of who our God is. And that's why we're singing right now. So number 4 in your hymnal, when you found it, would you please stand with me? It has 4 verses. Let's go ahead and sing them all.
Thank you.
the good singing this morning. Please remain standing as we read God's Word, and then we're going to pray together, and then I'm going to direct you back to the hymnal one more time. The Word of God, Psalm 116. Listen to the text of Scripture. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant, and you have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth of thy precious word and your precious promises unto us. Father, we thank you that you are the one who is ever merciful. You are the one who saves. You are the one who preserves the simple. Lord, you have dealt bountifully and graciously with us. And Lord, as we gather together this morning in this holy place, in this set-apart sanctuary, and we remember the life of our dear friend, our brother in Christ, Bob Safison. Lord, my prayer is that your Holy Spirit would be working mightily in our midst as we worship your name, as we reflect on the truth of the Scriptures, as we sing our praise to you in songs from our hymnal, as we remember Bob's life, and as we worship you. Oh, Lord, we give you the praise today. Lord, would you be our help at this time? For although we do know where Bob has taken up residence today, he has been called into your presence. Lord, we miss him. We miss him very much. I pray, Lord, that you would give to Pat today, to all of the family members, grace upon grace upon grace for an hour and a season such as this. Lord, comfort our hearts, I pray. Lord, all we do today is to the glory of your name. We will worship you and we'll remember our friend Bob. And we will do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I still get you standing, so, and if you still have your hymnal in hand, go over to number 425. And let me tell you very quickly, as you're finding your way there, why we're turning to this particular hymn. It was right after Thanksgiving, I believe, and Bob had been admitted to the hospital at Wentworth Douglas and went over to visit him a number of times. And the very first visit that I had with Bob there at the hospital, after he had received his diagnosis of the pancreatic cancer, was to have a spiritual conversation with Bob. And actually, there at that time, we planned what he knew was going to be his funeral service. He told me what he wanted to be sung that day, and this was one of them. 425. So we're going to sing together. It has three verses, but this is Bob's request. Alrighty? Let's sing together. Let's worship. You may be seated at this time. All right, we've given you a few minutes as we have opened in worship and singing to possibly think about some remembrances, reflections that you have of Bob's life. We're going to pass a microphone around, and please don't be intimidated by this. The reason we do this is so that everybody else can hear what you're saying, and also for those who are watching at home so they can hear what you're saying also. Now, our first one is usually the most difficult one to pry out of you, alrighty? But we've given you an opportunity to think about what you might like to say. And please don't think that somebody else will do it. Okay. Pat has requested that this would be a part of our service time together today. So remembrances and reflections on Bob's life. I'll share some of mine with you in a little bit during the eulogy portion. But who'd like to start us off? Looking for that first hand. All right. Bill, we'll come to you, my friend.
When I think of Bob, I think about being a young Christian coming to this church 20 plus years ago and meeting Bob. And right away, I was wrangled into being an usher. And Bob broke me in. And just I can remember back then, he just was so attentive about taking that job so serious when it came to assisting people to get into the church, the elderly or people that needed assistance. And Bob was always there, and I know that people came to church because of him that probably would have stayed home, but they knew Bob would be here to help them get into the church. It was just amazing to see. And I specifically remember Pastor Corbett in, towards the end of his days, and Bob was always there to help him all the time.
That's right.
And I also think of Bob. He took it serious in safety, too. He was always concerned about the children during Sunday school, during a service. He'd make checks, make sure everything was all right, and it was everything was the way it should be, and nothing was going on it shouldn't be. And I just want to, you know, praise him for that, and a servant that he was to the Lord for his ministry, just serving the people here in our church, and it just it was a real blessing to us. Mm-hmm. And I also, if you think of Bob, you got to think about truck driving, because he loved his job being a trucker. And I enjoyed listening to him, because every week he'd come in and he'd tell me where he went and how he got there and, you know, the experiences that he had. I just enjoyed it, and he truly loved that job.
So, Bill, thank you, friend. Thank you. All righty. All right. Hey, let's keep the microphone going around. Anybody else like to share today? All right, right here. All right, we'll go here, and we have one here, and we have one here. All righty.
I'm Patty's cousin, Mary, and before I got to meet Bob, I was at another funeral service for an uncle of ours, and Patty was very excited because she had seen this man, Bob, and he had given her a Bible, and that was the greatest gift anyone could have ever given her.
Yeah.
And I know that from meeting Patty and Bob at the Good and Plenty, and at the fish place.
The Windjammers.
Windjammers.
Yeah.
That Patty has always had a very good relationship with him, and I know she's done and seen a lot of things that she wouldn't have done otherwise if it wasn't for Bob.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for Patty now to know that she's involved in a church community like she is.
Amen. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Sir, did you have one?
My wife and I, when we ever, many times went to Windjammers, we always looked forward to seeing Bob and Pat in there and his smile, her smile. And it was just a pleasure to look forward to seeing them many, many times in Windjammers. So there goes Windjammer again. I hope one of the Windjammers, Brian, is here to get that commercial.
All right. I hope they appreciate that free advertising, right? So I'll take a gift card from them. Did you have one, sir?
Simplify thing for Bob Safason. Besides his religion, Bob loved his wives, Donna and Pat, but there's nothing more that Bob loved in life was than more than talking and driving a truck. He lived to drive a truck. License plate would tick. I think it came only because he got involved first driving a truck, hauling wood products. Wood sawdust, wood shavings, wood bark, finally wood lumber. But it really didn't matter. The man loved to drive a truck. One thing he loved more was to talk.
All right. Not me. Carol, do you want to say something there?
Thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord for Bob. We had some good memories. We went camping with him, and we had a lot of good times together. And just think of Bob as someday we'll see him in glory. Mm-hmm. And just thank you for Pat, and that you will be with her and give her strength from day to day. And we thank you for her, and thank you for Pastor Rick, who preaches the word every day and goes to different homes. We thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, dear. All right. Folks, any others? All right, we got several back here. All righty. Bob, did I see your hand up? There you go.
I only knew Bob about 5 or 6 years, but I found him to be a gentle, quiet type of person that was compassionate, and it just impressed me these past 5 or 6 years here where Bob was here every Sunday taking up the offering. And when you get to be 75, which is where I'm headed, you recognize that the aches and pains of life are a trial and a tribulation. And sometimes it becomes a sacrifice to actually get up and move around or to go someplace and do something. And Bob's faithfulness in that area, when I could see that he was in excruciating pain sometimes, it just impressed the life out of me that how much he loved the Lord.
Bob, thank you, friend. Sir? No, you can stay right where you're at.
This is Bob's last work gang back here, right?
Some work.
So I don't know if some of you guys realize his last day of work was on Halloween 2023, right? He was still going. And so, as you guys mentioned, the truck driving aspect, we were his last job, and he really wasn't able to drive a truck at that point, but he still really wanted to. And it got a little tricky at times kind of keep him away from our trucks because he still technically had that CDLA. But you guys could tell he had slowed down, right? It wasn't safe to get in and out of the truck or whatever. But he transitioned. He accepted his role, and we had a couple light-duty jobs for him to do for, I don't know, two and a half years, right? To no surprise to any of you that know him probably a lot longer than we do, he, even during COVID when nobody wanted to work, he wanted to work. He beat me to work every day. He was there at 5 o'clock every morning. We couldn't keep him away. The only thing that would keep him away is if Pat had taken him to the hospital for a fall. That was about it, right, Pat? And but it was a real blessing to have him around, to get to know him. He had worked with my grandfather back in the day, and I don't know. I feel like sometimes people would watch. It was good for culture, right? I got my boy here. They'd be up working together doing light duty with a difference of about 70 years. And it's good for the culture. He was good for the culture around work as far as people would think twice before saying something, whether it's a young kid or an old guy. And it was really good to us. And the last interesting part about the age and the respect that we all had for him too is, yeah, when we went to hire him, the payroll company thought I had entered the year wrong of his birth date, because nobody wanted to work, let alone an 80-year-old in the era in this economy. But we'll always be thankful for that. And to this day, I mean, it's been a couple months since he's worked. We still reference where he would stand when something in that area of the production room needs attention. And I think we always will. It's really, I don't know, I guess we got to get a sign or a plaque up there or something. But anyway, Pat, I just want to thank you again for getting him up and out of bed the last couple of years. It was a real pleasure. Thank you.
And the name of the company, sir?
Taylor Eggs.
Taylor Eggs, yeah, right.
I've known Bob my entire life, and I know he loved to drive big truck, but when he wasn't in the big truck, all I can ever remember through my entire life is that he always had the biggest pickup truck you could get on the road. Quad cab, long bed, always had flags and lights all over it, as big as he could get it. And that was the first thing I thought of when I thought of Bob, and I always enjoyed seeing his truck. But his faithfulness to this church and to the Lord was definitely one of the biggest. Always here as an usher. Amen. And as Bill was saying, he was such a blessing to my grandfather in the later years of his life. He'd sit back here in the back in his wheelchair with Parkinson's, and Bob would always get him out of the car, would mm-hmm. always get him into the bathroom. And my grandmother told me what a blessing that was to her mm-hmm. To have Bob always there. And Bob and Pat were such a huge blessing to my grandmother over the years after my grandfather passed.
That's right.
And so
that's right.
Faithfulness to the Lord. He may have had a little bit of a hard shell on him, but as you got to know him, he really was the softest, kindest yeah. hearted guy.
Amen.
We'll miss him.
And they were good friends, Ryan. That is for sure. All righty. Peggy?
For Bob, I'll use the mic. when I was looking for a church and I was visiting here, I came a couple times just to visit. And what I remember about Bob was his sense of humor. And he made you feel very much at ease and very welcomed here. And I praise God for that, because this is where I am.
Amen. Thank you, dear. All right. Folks, any others? One, two more maybe? Paula?
Just to have a little small story. Came into church one Sunday morning. My husband usually stands in the back corner back there ushering. And I went over to get a bulletin from him. And he gave me a kiss. And Bob looks at me and he goes, no PDA, no PDA. And he kind of gave me that fatherly no look, you know. I looked right at him, I turned right around and I went back and gave him another one. And then I looked at Bob and I said, how you like that? And he just was laughing. Well, that was just Bob, you know. So then I would do it just to tease him.
Just to tease him. All righty. You two behave now. All right. Ron, did you have one, friend? Ron and Bob, but just pass it behind you when you're done.
I just thank the Lord for Bob. He was so encouraging to me. Of course, I drove a truck for 34 years, so besides our brotherhood in Christ, we had kind of a bond, both being truck drivers. But Bob always had a warm word to say. You know, we'd converse about our week and what we'd went through and stuff, but Bob just had a way of making you thankful for life and thankful for being here at church and serving the Lord. And Bob was really a wonderful inspiration. He was to me, and we'll see him someday, but I miss him already.
Amen, amen.
I always used to kid with Bob. I'd come in and I'd see him and I'd say, how's it going, old man? We had the same birthday, except a year's difference. My birthday was April Fool's Day. His was April Fool's Day. I guess we were fools together, and we'll miss him. Miss him seeing going up the aisle and ushering. But I would see him at Windjammers every once in a while, because his dad and I would go in there amongst other restaurants.
Amen. All right, Bob, thank you, friend. All right, hey, folks, thank you so much for your memories and your reflections this morning. We have one more? All righty. There you go.
I'm Pat's sister, and I've actually known Bob my whole life, because I'm way younger than my sister. And he was a friend of the friend of the family. My father knew him. My brother's known him for many, many years, and I'm a lot younger than him, too. But I never really got to know Bob until after Pat and Bob got married. And one of the things I'll always remember about Bob is his generosity to me and my husband. We had bought a house here in Rochester about 8 years ago, and we didn't have a truck at the time. And it seemed like every time we turned around, we needed to go get something that required a truck. And my brother would help us out sometimes. And I can remember one time we were like, I can't remember, I think it was a washing machine, a dryer or something we needed to get. And Lowe's was having a one-day sale. But you couldn't, like, have them hold it. And I remember I called Pat, and 15 minutes later, Bob was in my driveway. It's like, let's go get it. A couple years later, there was something else. It was just up the road from our house that we wanted to buy. But there was no way that we could do it by ourselves. Reached out to Pat, said, what are you guys doing? It was a Sunday afternoon. I said, what are you guys doing? She's like, well, we're at Windjammers eating lunch. I was like, well, how long do you think you'll be? She's like, oh, I don't know, another 30 minutes or so. I said, do you think you could come to my house afterwards? Do you think Bob would mind helping us go get something with his truck? She asked him, and he's like, tell her we'll be there in about 15.
Yeah.
15 minutes seemed to be his thing. Anytime we asked him anything. But he was just, he was a little rough around the edges sometimes. And he loved to pick on me. And I think it was because I'm the youngest of the family. But he had a kind heart. And there were a couple of times that usually our conversations were kind of lighthearted and trucking or whatever. But I did have a couple of really deep conversations with Bob. And I'm confident of where he is.
Amen.
But I will remember him as a little kid. I'll remember him like pulling in the driveway and, you know, showing up at the house and stuff. But I'll just always remember how kind he was to me and those last minute quick, you know, needs that he was more than happy to come and help with.
Amen. I can see that. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm still on ground and I met Bob, when Bob's son Scott married my daughter Tracy. And one thing I always remember about Bob, I used to go to Brentwood Machine Shop a lot because I was a mechanic, and I'd always go by 125 restaurant, and guess who'd be there having coffee? Bob. And naturally, I had to stop in and have a coffee too. But I will always remember him for his stops for coffee. Thank you for listening.
All right, so thank you. Thank you. All right. John, you got one, friend? Just speak real loud.
I was usually the one to open the church in the morning on Sunday morning. Bob was always the next one to arrive. Coming in early, making sure the church was open, heated, ready to go. Always had a good word. Bob was an encourager. When my father died, Bob was the first one to put hands on.
Yeah.
And we also shared donuts.
So. Thank you, friend. Amen to that. Amen. Friends, thank you all so much for sharing this morning. And as I hear you sharing and talking, I'm just nodding and agreeing. And yeah, that's that was our friend Bob, wasn't it? All right. Would you join me in just a moment, a season of prayer. And then we're going to look at God's word yet again, and we're going to continue to remember our friend Bob. Lord, I thank you for the stories, the testimonies, the reflections that we've heard today about our friend, about your servant, Robert Safason. Lord, we are very confident of where he's at today, not because of any good works that he did of his own, but because of what Christ did for him and Bob's faith in the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. We know that grace was afforded to Bob. He received that as a gift from you. And Lord, we thank you for that. As we continue to remember his memory today, as we consider the truth of your word, Lord, I pray your blessings upon our hearing and your word that goes forth today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob went home to be with the Lord on December the 18th after a brief battle with pancreatic cancer. From what I've heard from you this morning, we're going to miss him. I certainly will. His smiling face each and every Sunday, we've heard that already this morning. He enjoyed always visiting with his friends before and after our Sunday morning worship service. So many years, he faithfully served as one of our ushers, holding out those bulletins, taking up the morning offering, sending everybody off with a warm goodbye at the close of the service. And then I hate to pile on, but if you headed off to the Windjammers afterwards, yeah, you'd find him there also. Bob was a faithful laborer. We've heard that this morning also, haven't we? Worked until actually the close of his life, when he was no longer able to work at all. And for the lion's share of his life, he was a truck driver. As a matter of fact, you see pictures right up over here of the big rigs. Each and every morning, early in the morning, Bob would be on the road while it was still dark. He so enjoyed his labors, his work. And as we've heard again this morning, I do remember also, without fail, each and every Sunday, without fail, he would tell me of where he had been that week, how many miles he had logged, how many hours he had worked, and his itinerary for the new week before him. It was just what we did every single Sunday morning. And the hours that he logged, even in his advanced age, would put many a young man to shame today. He would continue to labor until the close of his days, even in the midst of his medical and health challenges. He was an incredible laborer. They don't make him like Bob Safason anymore, do they? Bob loved not only his big rigs. Ryan reminded us he loved his personal trucks. I remember seeing those things all decked out in aftermarket accessories and lights, and you always knew Bob when he was driving down the road because the thing was lit up like a Christmas tree. And then there was the famous Woodtick license plate. When I first met Bob, he told me the story behind that and how everybody at his workplace called him that. I simply called him Bob. He was my friend. Bob had two children with Donna, Scott, and Julie. We were gathered a couple years ago here on a Saturday morning to do Julie's funeral. We gathered here back in March 2nd of 2005 to do Donna's funeral. Later that year of 2005, Bob crossed paths yet again with Pat Ellis. They had known each other before, but it was on July the 31st that they united their lives together, and they've been together ever since. 17 and a half years, Pat. 17 and a half years. Some of you who are present here today will remember that particular day, because it was also a baptism Sunday. We had gathered at the home of a longtime member of our church family, Mrs. Frances Hotelling. She had a camp up at Suncook Lake. So that day, Pat was amongst many others who got baptized, and then they got married right after that. So it was a precious day. It was a good day, and I still remember those precious memories. Bob and Pat enjoyed many years of pulling their trailer. Do you remember their trailer? That was parked on their side yard, camping at Booth Bay Harbor and even Acadia. I remember Sundays during the summer months, year after year after year, Bob would pull me aside after the morning service to let me know that they would not be around for the next several weeks, for they were heading up to Booth Bay, and they'd see me in a few weeks when they got back. So enjoy doing that very, very much. I'll remember Bob as a man who also sacrificed for his family, greatly sacrificed for them. Always wanted to make sure that they had the things that they needed as best as he could supply and purpose for them, and to bless them. Bob was also an Army veteran. I don't know if you were aware of that. He served in Okinawa, Japan, in the Army. Well, in the past year now, 2023, it had become very evident that Bob was, he was slowing down. He would encounter a number of stumbles, and he would keep on going. But several weeks ago now, while in the hospital, he got the news of the diagnosis of the cancer. I shared with you just a little bit ago that in one of my visits to Bob in the hospital was a conversation about spiritual business. Bob did not, he shared with me that he did not remember the exact day when he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, but he did assure me without a shadow of a doubt that he knew Jesus as his Savior and was absolutely confident as to where he was going when he would take his final breath on planet Earth. And for that, I am grateful. Bob would return back home from his hospital stay shortly thereafter, and he would come under the care of hospice, and Pat so faithfully and wonderfully cared for him for weeks. Pat, thank you for that, dear. And Bob was able to live out his days and pass in his own home. And on December the 18th, the Lord Jesus Christ called him to his heavenly home. In the time that I have with you this morning, I'd like to talk with you about that. The Gospel of John chapter 14. Listen to Scripture. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking, shortly before his own death on the cross. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Listen carefully. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Let me share this with you, if I may, today, about this place that we call heaven. And where does this doctrine of heaven come from? Where do we find out about that place? What's our source of information as it relates to the existence of this place called heaven? Well, we find out from that place from this book right here, this volume. It's called the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And if I may share with you briefly this morning how to be a prepared people for a prepared place, and to be drawn into the presence of the Lord, because I also have to tell you that not everybody does go there. It is those who prepared their lives here on planet Earth who will gain entrance to that place, the place where Jesus is at, the place where Bob is at today. Romans chapter 3, listen to this text of Scripture. I have to begin the storyline with a little bit of bad news, okay? So just hang in there with me, if you will. I promise it turns. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Wow. That is certainly not encouraging. That is certainly not a piece of good news. That all men have sinned. Every last one of us. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter if you're a professional businessman. Doesn't matter if you are a day laborer. Doesn't matter if you are a pastor of a church who stands behind a pulpit. All men have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. Now, I know today it's a term we don't hear very often at all. We might prefer to speak about mistakes that we make or shortcomings, but the Bible calls it sin. Now, I guess the next question is this serious? Is this sin that separates me from a holy God? Is this serious business? Well, you be the judge. Listen to what the Scripture says. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, I ask you the question, does that at all sound serious to you? It is both physical death and it is spiritual death. Bob experienced the physical part of that, but not the spiritual part. Physically, dear friends, we will all die, save the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Have you ever discovered in life that death has an amazing success rate? It's like 100%. One out of one die. Those are pretty good odds. 100%. The Bible says that the wages of this sin is death. Not only is physical death a part of life, but there's also this concept of spiritual life. And what happens when we take final breath on planet Earth? Where do we go then? Well, we go either into the presence of Christ, that's the prepared man, or we don't. And I know this is even more unpopular, but yes, there is a place called hell. It's revealed to us in the Scriptures. That's where we get that doctrine from also. And but Christ died on the cross for us. He paid the penalty for our sins so that that did not have to be a reality for any of us. But listen to what the Scripture says. All men have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Now, if I stop there today and just sent you on your way, oh my, that would be an absolutely pitiful message. I would send you on your way today with utter discouragement and disillusionment. But listen to the same Scripture. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still yet sinners," it says, "Christ died for us." That is at the core of the gospel message, the good news. That while we were still yet sinners, meaning when there was absolutely nothing we could do for ourselves of our own merit, on our own, to gain or to merit heaven in any way, when there was absolutely nothing wonderful or beautiful about us, Christ died for our sins. Bob Saffison believed that. And he embraced that truth. Because the same Bible also tells us that not only are the wages of sin death, I kind of stopped in the middle of the sentence there, okay? The remainder part of chapter 6, verse 23, Romans says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the good news of the gospel. Earlier we read from the Gospel of John chapter 14, and when we got to verse 6, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way to heaven. Now, I know also that today, that is not at all a very popular message. I know that. It's very, very exclusive. It's not very inclusive. But this is what the scriptures reveal to us. Salvation is available. The free gift of eternal life is available. But it is through Christ Jesus alone. And it is through what he did on a cross for you, for me, and for my friend Bob Safason. And what we do today in this lifetime with Jesus and this free offer of salvation, this gift that is extended to all of us, determines our eternal destiny. I don't know if you remember, but at the very beginning of our service today, when we were singing Bob's favorite hymn, you were singing these words, verse 3 of hymn number 4. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for you, okay? But I will read it to you. It said, and when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Listen, listen now. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. That's it. That's at the very core. That is the foundation of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. I am in need of a Savior. A Savior has been provided. His name is Jesus. He did a work on the cross where he took our place, because you, I, Bob, should have been on that cross dying for our sins. Christ took our place. And now what we do with him in this earthly lifetime, what we do with him today, well, it makes all the difference in the world. And it is not by good works that I do or you do. Listen, once again, very quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, listen to this. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Listen, listen. And this is not of your own doing. It's a gift from God. Listen, listen. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is not the result of works. It is not the result of trying to be a good person through your earthly lifetime. It is not a result of trying the very best you can of keeping the Ten Commandments, by the way, of which you cannot do and you will never do. It is through what Christ has done already for us. The Bible says it is not of works. It says it is by grace and is by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Christ has done for us on a cross, where he became our sin bearer. And I share that message with you extensively this morning and take the time to express it in detail, because this is a message of life and death, friends. And I promise I am not being overly dramatic or using hyperbole. It is a message of life and death. What will you do with Jesus? Bob Safason received this gift unto himself. It's simply that act of believing, receiving unto yourself. And then we begin, and then the good works kick in as we begin to live unto him, and we work as unto his glory. But we do not work to get to heaven. Nobody will ever be there because of good works they have done. The only people who will be in heaven will be those who trusted in Christ as their Savior. That's it. Works, the Bible tells us, earns us rewards in heaven, but it'll never get you over the threshold. That is Christ alone. One more passage of scripture, and then I'm going to let you go. The Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12 says, listen, but to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it is with that belief that Bob is in glory today. And it is with that confidence that I share this message with you today. Bob Safasan is in glory because he was a prepared person going to a prepared place. He exercised faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, you can also. If you are here today and you have never heard anything like this before, or you have never considered the claims of Scripture and the words of Jesus, would you consider those words today before you depart? The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So completely simple that a child can embrace this message, yet it is so utterly profound that the God of heaven himself and the second person of the triune Godhead, Jesus Christ, would die on my behalf. Wow. And on Bob's behalf. And on your behalf. What will you do with Jesus? Let me pray, and we'll set you on your way. Oh, gracious Lord, as we remember Bob's life, we thank you for it, for his friendship, for his good-natured humor, for his service to his fellow man and unto you. Lord, we thank you for all that. But Lord, we would be remiss if we departed today without first and foremost thanking you for the gift of eternal life and thanking you for the gift that was Robert Safasan. Lord, I pray that the words of the gospel today would not fall on deaf ears. Lord, my prayer today is that if there are any in our company who do not know you or who do not name the name of Christ, Lord, I pray that they would do business with you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, one last hymn this morning. Find your hymnal with me, if you will. It's number 202. Many of you here, if not most of you or all of you, are probably at least somewhat familiar with John Newton's Great Amazing Grace. It's 202. It's a short one. It has five verses. We'll go ahead and sing them all. But as we are singing through the lyrics of this hymn, please, please pay attention to the message that we are singing and the grace that is afforded to us through Jesus and through the cross. It's 202 in the red hymnal in front of you. When you found it, please stand with me. Let's sing together. Let's worship. Lord, dismiss us this day with your blessings upon us, with your great and abundant and sufficient grace for Pat and for all of Bob's family. Lord, sustain them through these days, I pray. We commit them into your good care. Lord, watch over this congregation today. Dismiss them, O Lord, with your good blessings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, dear friends, for coming out today. If you'd like to come and to visit with Pat, please feel free to do so. But at this point, you are dismissed. God bless you all. Be safe out there.